Welcome to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related, presented by the physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialist. I'm your host, Carl Pendley. Our hope for Heart is to meet you where you are with valuable information from trusted experts in the field of cardiology. Today, we are honored and pleased to have Dr. Pavan Katakanini, an Advanced Cardiovascular Specialist located here in Shreveport, Louisiana. Dr. K, once again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me here. I've always enjoyed it. Thank you.
Today, we're going to discuss prevention of heart disease. It's a challenge. Walk us through it.
It's something that we see every day. And unfortunately, so many times during the day, including today, you see and meet patients who you wish had done things differently a few years ago, some few months ago, so that they would not be where they are today dealing with the consequences of their choices. We cannot choose our genetics, we cannot choose our genes, and we don't have a say in the hereditary pattern of our genetics that make some of us more predisposed to cardiovascular disease. But we certainly, and most certainly, can minimize the risk by adapting a healthy lifestyle choices. So, to put it simply, hypertension, it may not be as glamorous a thing to say, but simple prevention of hypertension would probably eradicate more than 50% of the cardiovascular diseases in the world around the globe.
Half?
More than that. Because if you think about it, high blood pressure is the most common, single most common cause of congestive heart failure around the world. It is not coronary artery disease or blockages in your heart as you think it might be. It's just simple, untreated, poorly treated, long-standing high blood pressure. Makes you wonder, everybody that you meet, one in two people, once they are over 50, 60, probably have hypertension. But not everybody has optimal therapy. Not everybody is on well-controlled regimen to get their blood pressure to what guidelines recommend. A lot of it is because patients rely on just medicine. They hope that pills can cure everything without putting in an effort to alter how they live, specifically by how much they eat, what do they eat, what kind of food they eat. All these things add up over the course of a lifetime and decades and come to a point where lifestyle interventions may not be enough, and now you're requiring 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on, more and more pills. So prevention is the key.
Let's zero on hypertension because that is so, I didn't realize the statistics were that high and how catching it early on or preventing it from developing can eradicate the need for a lot of other things that could cause bad outcomes. Say I'm 20 years old, I'm 25 years old. What do I need to be doing at this point to keep me from having high blood pressure, hypertension when I'm 45, 50, or as I am right now in mid-60s?
It is never too early and never too late to start paying attention to your cardiovascular health. Right now, the NIH, the CDC, and all professional medical societies, not just in this country, from around the world, have started doing long-term, large-scale studies which have shown and are beginning to show evidence early adaptation of healthy lifestyle choices in kids, young children, by the time they're adolescents and young adults, is showing great benefits to how their health would be once they become middle-aged adults. So even if you are a teenager, teaching our children to make sure that what they eat, they pay attention to healthy lifestyle choices, moving towards a more wholesome, plant-based, vegetable, fruit-rich, Mediterranean kind of a dietary practices, which were recommended even for adults. The sooner children and young adults get hooked to this, the better it will be in preventing them from having downstream cardiovascular disease. It's particularly true if you are born into a genetic pool where you have a strong family history of premature coronary artery disease or peripheral arterial disease or cerebrovascular diseases. It's particularly important because you do not want to be waiting till you are a 40-year-old adult showing symptoms of cardiovascular disease when you could have done something when you were in your 20s and 30s to prevent it or delay it.
In that case, the parents have to step in and take control. So you must have it's education. Cliche, but you must eat your vegetables.
Yes, yes. It's education. It's education. Practice what we teach and follow what we teach and, doing it consistently. And that's the key. Just like I mentioned in the previous podcast, that it's not just enough to concentrate on how low your LDL cholesterol is today or how was it 3 months ago. The key is consistency. The key is how consistent are you with maintaining that LDL cholesterol at a particular level. It's not the number which is important. It is how long, over what duration of time, are you able to maintain it that way?
Yeah, consistency.
Consistency is the key, not just with medication, but just with your exercise pattern, with your dietary patterns, and that makes a big difference.
And you hit on two of the three, and I want to zero in. You mentioned lifestyle, and lifestyle encompasses all manner of things.
Yes.
But what we eat, what we do with our bodies on a daily basis.
Yes.
Can you tick through those, the things, and we'll keep it sort of the, not molecular level on this, but just general good advice.
Yes. See, for all of us, avoid being obese. Be as physically active as you possibly can be during the daytime. Improve your physical exertion. If your job dictates that you are sedentary and you have a desk job, take a break whenever feasible. Walk around so that you get that physical activity in through the day. Make time for yourself in the evenings. Take 30 minutes a day dedicated for you to have a brisk walk. Do it at least 3 times a week or 4 times a week if possible. And that goes a long way in improving your general sense of well-being, preventing obesity, from making you more encouraged to keep on at it so that you build on it and improve your stamina, physical fitness, mental well-being. And once you start adapting this kind of lifestyle choice, what I've seen is patients add additional better valuable lifestyle choices to build on to this. Say, for instance, you start exercising. You notice that all of a sudden your appetite improves, and then you're thinking about what kind of diet you should be eating, and then you start focusing on making healthy dietary changes. Once you have done that, you started feeling good results, then it's like a positive reinforcement loop for patients. And then your family members and your loved ones in your house see that you look good, you feel good, and then one of them starts trying the same thing. And it's like a positive reinforcement loop for you and the community. And ultimately, it's at the population level that hopefully will have a better effect.
Diet key, exercise the key.
Yeah.
What's the third leg of the stool?
Diet, exercise, consistency, like I said. The other thing is there are some times when you do have some medical conditions that make it difficult for you to do these things. If you had, say, poorly controlled diabetes already, if you are already overweight and you have joint disease, you struggle to do exercise because your knees hurt. You struggle to maintain a dietary pattern because you're already obese. You may have things like sleep apnea. Untreated sleep apnea is another most important cause of driving poorly controlled blood pressure, making you feel fatigued and tired during the daytime. All these things increase your risk of having cardiac disorders like arrhythmias and increase the stress on your heart. So identifying your individual risk factors becomes the key. Common population level risk factors are what we talked about, you know, diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, obesity. At an individual level, if you had a family member, your father, mother, brother, sister, first degree relative, somebody had premature coronary artery disease when they were in their 40s, a man, 50s, a woman, then you know that you are at an elevated risk and you need to do more than just the regular things that everybody else around you is doing. And this is where your discussions with your doctor, the cardiologist, becomes important in identifying your risk profile and seeing, is there anything that can be done in addition to your lifestyle choices to prevent you from developing cardiovascular disease? Or have you had developed cardiovascular disease, but it is still silent? And then there is ways to minimize progression. So this is where intelligent discussions with your doctors become very important.
Yeah. And it is real in real life, though, doctor. It is such a challenge because we are inundated. And it's always been frustrating to me that all the things that I love and I get the fulfillment of food, yeah, and I get fulfillment, they're all bad for me physically. I love chicken fried steak with green gravy, but I know I can't eat that.
Yes,
at least maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months or three.
Yeah.
But I promise you, if I stare down another Brussels sprout or carrot here sometimes, I just cannot do that. Give me an ice cream cone. How do you deal with that?
I cannot argue with you on that. And that's so real. That's what I said. It's so real. And we talked about it in a different context, but anything in moderation, okay? I'm not telling you never to have fried chicken in your life. I'm just saying don't do it every day, okay? You gift yourself something, but only after you put in an effort to eat healthy for several days. And then you can say, okay, this weekend I can have a dessert, indulge myself in some fried food. That's fine. I'm not saying do not eat salt ever in your life again. What I'm saying is watch the amount of salt intake that goes into your diet every day so that on one of those occasions when you have no control over what you're eating, you can have the opportunity and the room to indulge without having negative consequences. It's not easy to break old habits and patterns and set likes and strong dislikes that we all develop as we grow older and older. To break that pattern and habit is the key, and focus on education, 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 and keep stressing it time and again, time and again, time and again, so that if I try 10 times, if I can get the message across once or twice, I consider it a success. But I hope and pray that more and more people will continue to, you don't have to be a doctor and a cardiologist to keep spreading awareness. And we see so many good organizations in our community and medical societies and everybody coming together. I think that makes the big difference. We need to get to our kids when they are in schools and colleges early on, so that by the time they become adults who will be responsible for other people, they make good choices, and then we have to invest in it early. And for those who unfortunately are already dealing with it, we have to provide them with the means to cope with it and make it easier for them to accomplish some of these goals and make it realistic and doable.
Once again, Dr. K, insightful, enlightening, and very much appreciated.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
To learn more about ACS and to schedule a consultation, visit acsdoctors.com or you can call 318-798-9400.